Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders, MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson, and your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. It's that time again. It's Tuesday. We got an exciting jam-packed show. We're going to be joined by Mike Berkus from the National Sports Card Collector Convention. We're going to be talking 2013 National. There'll be a sweet giveaway, a little VIP package, and possibly some tickets. So stay tuned for that once we bring Mike on. We're going to talk some Bowman Inception. We're going to review Prestige Football and preview some gold standards. So it's a pretty exciting show. Ryan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just 105 degrees where I'm at the last like 3 or 4 days. So just trying not to melt, basically.
I hear that. And up in Stockton, man, it's a little bit more. I was in Manteca, which is very similar weather. It's very hot and heavy up there. It's not you don't get that breeze. So I give you credit for dealing with the heat up there, man.
Yeah, it's like a sauna. So you can lose some weight really quickly here.
Seriously, right? Dan's joining us from Vegas. Seems like every time we turn around, Dan's in Vegas placing bets. What's going on, Dan? Well, he's having too much fun because he just dropped off the call again. Yeah, that cell phone interference, man. They don't let you get on the cell phone there when you're placing your bet. So Dan will probably come back on at some point, and then, you know, he may get a beer and drop off. So he'll add some of his commentary on the Prestige review, because we busted about a case and a half of 2013 Prestige Football. But everybody's buzzed. Puig Mania is here. I got a Puig shirt on. I got a Puig socks on. I got shoes. I mean, everybody wants Puig. You know, just everybody's buying everything that has Puig's name on it. So I figured I might as well get everything, you know. It's what everybody else is doing, right?
Exactly.
So, and the kid went, 4 for 5 the other day. So.
Yeah, he had four hits, right? That guy's. I keep on saying the whole sample size, but he's proven me wrong. Guy seems like he may be the real deal.
Well, I mean, now they're even talking about him trying to be a write-in for the All-Star game, I mean, at this point. So, I mean, it's good for baseball. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this is a guy that's – I mean, it reminds me of 2010 with Strasburg, how the hobby caught on fire and brought a lot of new people in. So it's an exciting time for his autographs, and we see it with the Inception. I mean, unfortunately, with Inception, it's a redemption, but I looked the other day, and I think there was a number to 75 redemption that sold for well over $1,000. So, I mean, craziness for one card, one piece of cardboard selling for over $1,000. It's insane.
Yeah, and who knows the time frame on those redemptions? I mean, if they haven't had them signed yet, trying to get them to sign during the season, it's going to be almost impossible. So that may be a redemption. It's going to take 6 to 8, maybe even a year to fill.
Right. Still, it's going to be.
People are still paying major coin for him.
Well, I hope they've got that contract signed, and, you know, maybe there was a stipulation that they'll send him back to Cuba if he doesn't sign, you know. So maybe they got him on the ropes for that.
I mean, you got to figure, best case scenario, you're probably looking at 6 months on that redemption.
Right. And it's been worse with Topps redemptions lately. So, I mean, you go on the forums and everybody's. I mean, there's been some more horror stories than good stories about the redemptions lately. So hopefully he's already got him signed.
You know, he doesn't sign and you get a Gary Carter replacement auto, or you get a Jeremy Hellickson.
Or a Don Sutton.
The three guys you can choose from.
Those are the two main ones that you can choose from. So, yeah, or, you know. Willie Mays, I'm sure, is getting filled with other guys, too, because he's not signing. So that's a whole other story that we can talk about for a half an hour if we wanted to. So,
well, that's true. But there's also Matt Kemp as well. He has tons of redemptions out there that have never been filled.
At least with Matt Kemp, he's been injured a little bit. So, I mean, he has a somewhat of an excuse. But Inception boxes are now up to like 130. And, I mean, I can tell you from our breaks, I mean, they're all sold out. So, I mean, this product is living up to its billing. There's a lot of redemption that we haven't busted any yet. But there's a lot of redemptions in the product, unfortunately. But it doesn't seem to bother people as of right now. And people are just, you know, taking that Puig name to the bank. So... some of the big names are, like, Rendon's a redemption. So there's a lot of big names that are redemptions in the set. I think Buxton's live and Correa's live. So that's what it's got going for it. But it's a really good checklist and not a whole lot of pre-orders on it. So everybody's scrambling to get it now and blow out and DA or starting to run out of it. So it's definitely set the hobby on fire. So it's a good thing.
Is Tavares in it?
Who?
You know, Oscar Tavares.
Oh, yeah, he's in it, and he's live.
He's in it.
So he's
okay.
Live. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I mean, he's one of the top prospects, top five. I mean, sometimes people say he's number one. I think I've heard some people say that guy now is the number one because Dylan Bundy was number one. But I guess I heard rumblings, and I'm not sure, but I heard Dylan Bundy may be out for like 2 years.
Well, Tommy John surgery, right?
Right, but I think it's like a little bit more complicated than just Tommy John.
Well, that sucks.
It's not good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see this happen. Guys fall off. And I'm looking at the checklist for Inception. Man, your A's, they got all the guys you want. Addison Russell, Michael Choice, Miles Head.
Yes.
Matt Olson.
Yes.
So I'm sure Ryan will be picking up some Miles Head because I think he's pretty cheap out of that set. I think you can get a nice Miles Head on-card auto for $6-7 from Inception.
Yeah, ever since he left Stockton, he stopped hitting, apparently. So.
Oh, really?
I believe that to be the case. I don't know what he's done this year, but, yeah. I mean, the guy was a beast in Stockton, but he's kind of fallen off. They have another prospect. I don't know if you guys remember. Michael Iona. They signed him when he was, like, 16 for, like, $4 million. I'm going to see him on Friday. He's making his Stockton debut. I don't know how old he is now. He also had, I think, Tommy John. So another guy who his cards were expensive, and now they're probably dirt cheap again. So I'm going to be interested to see what how he looks. I don't think he's in Bowman Inception, but good.
No,
good,
I remember him in
Bowman Inception.
He was in the same set as Posey in 2008 Bowman Draft. So he had stuff in there, and then he was in that. He was in 2008 playoff, they had that playoff contenders set, which it was like I think that was one of, it might have still been Donruss at the time, but it was, he was in that. And I remember when he came out, his cards were like, I mean, he was on fire. And then, you know, he kind of went under the radar. You can probably pick him up for pretty cheap right now. It might be a guy to invest in.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was
Giants,
like 11.
Who do the Giants have in the,
Inception, they have Clayton Blackburn, Gary Brown, and Joe Panik.
Oh, okay. Nice. Panik's in there. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Gary Brown, who was our number one prospect, who's, I think, our number 10 prospect now. So we'll see how he pans out. Obviously, he gets drafted in 2010 after, what, 3-4 years in college, and then they need a center fielder, and they don't call him up, so... Not a great sign for Gary Brown right now, but hopefully he turns it around and he lives up to his billing, his early
billing.
Hey, you guys know who Bobby Evans is? You guys know who
Bobby Evans
is?
Yeah.
Yeah, the vice president of the Giants. And he does the scout. I was sitting next to him at the Ports game. He came to the Ports game for like 2 games.
Oh, nice.
Sitting next to Kyle Crick and stuff. So, good guy.
Yeah, he is, I think he's considered like the assistant GM now to Brian Sabian.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had a big World Series ring on and everything. I mean, it was great.
But yeah, that guy's responsible for drafting Posey and, you know, all the Madison Bumgarner, all those guys.
Yeah.
How does Kyle Crick look?
He's got real good stuff. good fastball. He's kind of like a Matt Cain a little bit in just his build and even his delivery maybe a little bit, but he has a really good fastball, not like 93, 94, 95. Like a little curveball, like a changeup or something that he's working on. So, but he a couple years away, they might trade. He definitely could be a big leaguer.
Yeah, and he was drafted out of high school, so I mean they're obviously grooming him, and he climbed up. And I think he's our number one prospect right now. So I mean, guy must be showing
definitely.
It because he's climbed up there real quick and knocked off Gary Brown and Panic and all these other guys that were in the top five. He's ahead of all those guys. So. But that's our homer talk, right? I mean, so, but yeah, it's a good sign for baseball. I mean, Topps had kind of an epic fail. I mean, customers were probably obviously happy that it did come out on Friday, but from an industry standpoint, this stuff wasn't supposed to be released until tomorrow. And then we started seeing on the internet that people had it on Friday, along with the World Baseball Classic set that came out, the Topps Tribute World Baseball Classic set. And, you know, as breakers, we're like, we're supposed to have it. You know, what's going on? Well, it turns out that they, last minute, they sent an email to all the distributors saying release upon receipt. So it was really, I mean, it doesn't surprise me with Topps, but it was just really bad planning on their end to not let people know that if you get it, you can put it out, you can sell it. So I'm sure stores could have maybe pumped it up saying we're going to have it on Friday. They could have probably had more sales if they would have known they had it. Obviously, breakers like us, if we would have known we'd have had it on Friday, we could have done a couple cases of it then, you know, instead of we planning out our day and doing other breaks. So I don't know what's going on with Topps. I don't know what the strategy was. Maybe they wanted to make it like, you know, that you didn't know that it was out, so it creates a buzz. Maybe there was a marketing strategy involved, but, I mean, I don't think there was a marketing strategy involved. I think it was like, oh, crap, we shipped it early. Put it out. I mean, what's your take on it? What's your guys' take on it?
Well, I mean, they still are claiming the street date is tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, there, even though this stuff has been, I mean, it's at the point where it's drying up. Like people are like struggling to find it. And I mean, there's been cases and cases and cases busted, but the release date is still tomorrow.
Right.
And they're still standing behind that street date, even though they send it to the distributors and the direct accounts almost a week early and sent out an email saying, hey, you know, go ahead and sell it as soon as you get it. What's the point? I mean, like we were saying, those Puig redemptions, those cards were getting ridiculous, like closing at like ridiculous prices. It was like people trying to get like $1,500 like the first day, $2,000
right.
Like the first day for
yeah.
Like a redemption that, I mean, that's insane. So, I mean, I think you're right. I think somebody at Topps screwed up and they didn't want to own up to it. So they just, you know, released it.
Well, yeah, I can tell you, June 30th. Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, sorry. That release date had changed. I think it was originally supposed to come out, like, on the 28th or whatever. And I could see maybe it just – I mean, I think all that stuff is all third party. It's not like it's, you know, it was like Mark Sapir going in the back and shipping out, you know, the Bowman cases. I'm sure it's all handled through some third party. That release date changed, like, literally, like – 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, from the 28th, I believe, then supposedly quote unquote on the 3rd. So, I actually think, you know, for collectors, here's the funny thing: for collectors, it's imagine if you went and you could play Madden right now, or you could play GTA 5 right now, you wouldn't be complaining at all. You'd be excited.
Right.
You'd tell all your friends. You'd be like bragging about it, about how I could play Madden right now. So I think, like, when something like Bowman Inception comes out, it's like if you're a collector and, you know, and you're just opening to either keep the cards or maybe sell the cards, you know, you're not really sure, it's actually, like, an exciting thing, I think, when it comes out early. I think the only issue with release dates is it with sellers because, like Dan was saying, with the Puig being a $1,000 card, $1,500 card, and only a certain amount of money in the hobby, you know, at a given time. There's been other products that have come out in the last couple weeks as well. So you got the National coming up. So I think it, for collectors, when something comes out early, like Bowman Inception, it actually is like a cool thing. Like, oh my God, my hobby shop has it. I can go get a box. You know, it's like, like I was saying, like a video game coming out. But on the other end of the scale, if you're trying to sell this stuff, I can see how it's can be like mind-numbing, especially when you're pre-ordering this stuff like 6 months in advance and you're relying on it and there's only a certain amount of products per month and you've got to get all, you know, get what you can out of some of these products, and especially a hot product like this, which has been well received, I think, at least so far. So it's an interesting situation. I'm glad at least they let everybody have it instead of saying, no, these direct accounts got it. Everybody else can come back on Wednesday. So I guess that's that at least they opened it up that everybody could get it, even if they kind of flubbed getting a correct date for everybody.
Well, it exactly. I mean, I think we're the minority because we're obviously the small few that are behind the scenes compared to the masses that are consuming the product. But I think, I mean, we were probably able – our distributor was notified at 1:30. I called him earlier in the day, and this is 1:30 Pacific, and according to my distributor who's in Florida, they got it at 4:30. So it was obviously a mass email to the distributors saying, hey, release Inception. Well, the problem with – I mean, for us, we could have went and picked it up and maybe done breaks all night that night if we wanted to. But the problem, I think, is for the people that are 3 days from any distributor – because the distributors, they didn't know to ship it out. Well, now they've gotten info, oh, ship it on Friday. Well, these people aren't going to get it until Tuesday. So now you have an unlevel playing field for people selling these boxes and others that are still waiting for Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, granted, the product's so hot, I think everybody's going to make money and maybe they might make more because it held. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise. But, I mean, I looked at Twitter on Friday, and there was a lot of people that were mad that sell the product because they can't get it until Tuesday because the distributors were tied until the very last minute. Now, if the distributors would have known Wednesday or Tuesday, they could have shipped it out. These people could have had it on Friday. So the only people that got it were direct accounts that Top ships it direct, which some hobby stores don't even go direct because you're forced to buy all the Top's products, and people that are close enough to a distributor got it. So
But what if this happens? Like, we talked about this before. So if, let's say, they release that product early, people open it up, and it's a dog. It's no value, filler product, crappy product, and the bottom drops out of it. Well, that's 4 days that somebody has been able to just liquefy, like, all this product that they had. And now by the time you get it, it's 30% less now than it was before because everybody is like running away from it, just getting rid of it, dumping it as fast as they can. So you didn't even have a chance to sell it, and now you lost about 30% on it because somebody was able to open it up and basically show that it's a crappy product. I mean, there's people who didn't get the product who got lucky because the product is holding its value and it is a good product. And it probably will end up going up and drying up a little bit, but it could have went the opposite way. There could have been a bunch of people who didn't get their cases until Wednesday, and wholesale price was like $70. Well, now people are on B2B selling it for $50 because it's a subpar product. So I mean, it could have went both ways. It could have been really bad for a lot of people. And it's just bad communication on Topps' end because Topps could have very easily this release date has been pushed back like 2 or 3 times, and then they get it a couple days early and they just release it, and they send out an email literally like the day of, or communicate.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are you back?
Okay. We're back. Sorry, guys. The internet here in San Jose has been having problems all day, and all of a sudden it completely went kaput again. So sorry for the dead air space. And you got the studio
just,
up there, right?
It's just too hot, man.
It's just too hot, man. The internet doesn't like
it's
it.
Too hot.
It's just too hot. Isn't there a Coolio song called Too Hot? I think that's what's going
Dude,
on right now.
That's a good jam. it's a good album.
That's a good jam for sure. Now, Ryan, since you have the studio up, if you see a number come up there, that's Mike. You could bring him on because I can't even pull up a studio here. So,
you happen to know what his area code would be?
There's somebody already
I see
in the chat. Now he's been in the that guy's a, he's a listener, so he's been in there for a little while.
And then I see what appears to be maybe a fake number.
Okay. So, yeah, if you see a new one pop on, that'll be Mike. So, sweet. So, where did we leave off?
I don't know. I was I had, like, a long rant about the release date, but I'm pretty sure that you guys lost me about, like, 4 seconds into it, and I just kept on talking. So, there was some valid points. There was some good stuff. But it'll never be known.
Well, you can definitely start your rant over.
Yeah, it's pretty much lost all its luster at this point.
Yeah. Well, are you like, oh, well, it looks like my internet might be up for a minute here. Kind of, but anyways, yeah. So I mean, we can move on to talk about 2013 Prestige. We me and Dan busted what about 18 boxes last week and. We've seen a lot of this stuff, Dan. What was your take on 2013 Prestige football?
You know, it is what it is, but I mean, for the value, it like, you know, I think a little bit under $100 street value for the product, four hits. It's pretty decent. I mean, they didn't really change much. A lot of the inserts are the same. The card design's a little different, but it's pretty clean actually. And you know what they did that I really liked is that it seems like they loaded it up with on-card autos. I mean, I remember past years you would get like one or two on-card autos in like the whole case. And this, it was like probably one every other box. I think it was four to five like on-card autos per case. And, you know, it's like the Draft City destinations and all that stuff. It's the same insert and the same type of card, but a lot of on-card autos and real sleek-looking cards.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, obviously what people are going to be complaining about is there is a lot of double zero. But, I mean, to defend Panini, obviously they didn't – these cards were made pre-rookie premiere and signed at the rookie premiere. So – with the exception of like Geno Smith and EJ Manuel and maybe Tavon Austin, they didn't know what these guys were going to, you know, what number they were going to wear. So I do see that complaint on forums of saying, hey, you know, double zero, I don't want to collect double zero. But at this stage in the game, there's really nothing they could do unless they just, you know, randomly pick numbers and put it on these guys, which that wouldn't be cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing that is it really kind of shows, you know, the kind of early speculation about the 2013 rookie class is the secondary market on Prestige right now. A Tavon Austin draft day SP auto sold for like $80. Same thing with EJ Manuel. So these early on cards are only selling for $80-$90 on the secondary market, whether it's RG3 Luck or selling.
That was a $300 card last year.
Right, so you can definitely see that nobody knows who's going to be hot yet. So these early sets, I mean, you can look at it a couple ways. You can look at it like, oh, man, you know, I'm not getting return on investment on my box. Or you can look at it as I hold on to these cards. I buy one of these Tavon Austins. I buy one of these EJ Manuals at $8. It might become a $300 card if this guy shines. So there's a couple different ways you can definitely look at the market, but the numbers definitely aren't there early. And I think a lot of dealers
are scared. A lot of shops are scared right now, but I'm not scared. I think somebody's going to emerge. You got three or four running backs that might have starting jobs. So I think it will figure it out. And if this, they'll start putting in veterans. They'll start putting in legends. They'll figure it out.
I think this draft class is, people are going to look back on it and go, man, everybody was panicked about this draft class, and it's going to turn out to be a solid draft class. I know there's not a lot of sex appeal, but I mean, I think guys like Giovanni Bernard and Denard Robinson and all the, like, you know, Tavon Austin, guys like this, Eddie Lacy, Stephon Taylor. I think a lot of these guys are going to emerge, and we're going to look back and go, man, a hell of a draft class. Because every year there's always rookies, no matter where they're drafted, there's always guys who emerge that you wouldn't expect. Like look at Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith, there would probably, I mean, Torrey Smith, I guess you'd consider a number one receiver right now. I mean, he is definitely the number one receiver on his team.
Yeah,
he flew under the radar for the most part. There's also guys like Cecil Short. That guy put up great numbers last year, kind of under the radar, not a huge market team. But that was a guy who I think was drafted in the later rounds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think the guys initially that are going to get the biggest opportunities is EJ Manuel. I mean, EJ Manuel he's behind Kevin Cobb at this point. They don't have Fitzpatrick anymore. So we all know how Kevin Cobb played in Arizona. He had a couple good games in Philly. I mean, I think they pull the plug on him 3-4 games in, and I think EJ Manuel will get the start. So I think that's a guy that you could see if he puts up a couple good games. He's got the tools. He's got CJ Spiller. He's got Robert Woods. He's got, you know, guys to throw. He's got CD Johnson if CD Johnson remains healthy. So, I mean, that you're talking about a guy that could potentially – and the guy sounds – he's well-spoken. So, I mean, I don't know what his Wunderlich score was. I think he was in the 20s, I think, when we looked. But I think you're talking about a guy that could potentially be a big name this year in EJ Manuel. I mean, he was a first-rounder, so – I mean, he's not under the radar by any means right now, but I think his cards are selling lower than they may be selling halfway into the season.
I mean, like you said, Robert Woods is another guy who can be a breakout receiver. He could have an amazing year. And then you look at like a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. That guy can have an amazing year. I mean, I think we're gonna look at this draft class and say, oh, I don't know what everybody was tripping about. This is actually a pretty solid draft class.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You potentially have two starting quarterbacks out of this draft class, and you could also make an argument, maybe three, with Tyree Wilson in Oakland. So,
right. Poor Matt Flynn. If Matt Flynn gets duped again, man, that guy's just going to quit. He's going to start selling hot dogs or something. I mean, he's gonna start working at Burger King because this guy can't get any love.
I think he's far from Burger King, man. He got that long money to hold that clipboard.
That's true. He got a lot of money last year to hold the clipboard. I think he signed like a $14 million contract last year, and then what did he sign with Oakland? I don't know off the top of my head,
his contract was in like the $30 million mark, I think.
Wow.
That guy got a huge contract from Seattle, and I think he was traded, so Oakland basically is eating that contract. So he basically, that contract went with him.
Yeah.
Because he was traded. Yeah. He wasn't like released or anything. He was traded to Oakland. So he's getting that long money to hold the clipboard. But if he loses his job again, I mean, it's actually not even his job. I mean, I guess it's going to be an open competition in Oakland. So
You're talking about, you know what's crazy about the Matt Flynn scenario is you're talking about one game that got him all this money. I mean, literally, the Packers clinched and they were sitting Rodgers. They put him in week 17 against the Lions. The Lions needed a win, and he came in and he threw four touchdowns, 400 yards, and one single game got this guy all this money. It's crazy.
We're talking like a record-breaking game, and I think it was like, if I'm not mistaken, it was like a primetime game. It was either a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. So everybody was watching it. So, I mean, if you're going to shine on a big stage.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're right. He's played, I think he's probably played maybe three starts in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he lost his job in preseason, so there must be something about the way the guy practices, like literally. I mean, I haven't looked into it too far, but, I mean, the guy must be just throwing picks or just might have a noodle for an arm in practice or something, because obviously Russell Wilson gets a start, and we're talking about a guy who was drafted for baseball, and, you know, he gets a start over – I mean, obviously it was a good decision, but he gets to start over the seasoned veteran, so to speak. And now you're talking about a guy who, I don't remember offhand where Tyler Wilson was drafted, but I mean, it was like what, third or fourth rounder? So you're talking about,
I think he may have been even later than that.
So,
but yeah, I feel you. It's, I don't know what's up with Matt Flynn. I thought he was going to have a killer year last year, but I mean, nobody. That's another thing. I mean, nobody saw Russell Wilson coming in and taking that job and doing what he did. That was another guy who, at the draft, nobody was like, Russell Wilson's going to be a stud. Everybody was looking for luck. And, I mean, it was Luck, Griffin, Trent Richardson. Even Doug Martin was kind of under the radar as well. There was not a lot of guys at the draft day, like, talking about Doug Martin and how he's going to be a star.
No. No, not
at all.
There's always
people who emerge who just kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah. I do see this 111 number on here, and this could be Mike. I'm back on for the time being. Internet is spotty in San Jose today. So we'll try to see if this is Mike. Mike, is this Mike?
It is Mike. Sorry I'm late, fellas.
Oh, no worries. We've been having some connection problems today due to the heat, so, which I'm sure you're feeling down there, too, in Southern California as well.
Yeah, it's just been a very busy day. We're getting real close to the show, and I tried to get some space for a couple of old-timers, and we're sold out. We don't have an inch of space left at the show. And it's been going on all day as far as, I don't know, we must have had 50 people wake up and say, oh, I forgot to get a table at the National. So they
well,
will make great thing. They will make great attendees.
That's a good thing, for
it
sure.
It is a good thing, yeah. If I had this problem every year, I'd be. It would make life a lot easier. So how is everybody doing?
We're doing
good.
You know, we're just trying to stay away from the heat and stay cool, and luckily there's AC around here, and, you know, getting ready for the National, so.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. I mean, we've never had coverage like this since I can remember. It's the first time we've ever gone into a deal with the Chicago Tribune. Normally it's the Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, all the onlines, CSN, ESPN, and Fox. And this year the Tribune and, surprisingly, the Cubs showed up at our doorstep. And so the coverage between all the local area stuff, because we transfer our focus now. We go from national marketing and hobby marketing at this stage to now pounding away on the local market front. We'll be in newspaper online and 250 radio spots, 1 million impressions, 35 newspaper ads, and then television, and then whatever online and emails that go out, e-blasts and that, beginning 3 weeks out. So my goal is real simple. If somebody lives within an hour or 2 hours of the National and they haven't heard about it, well, I don't know what else I can do except knock on their door and drag them out.
Sounds good. Well, you know, just in case some people are new to this hobby and, you know, haven't really heard about the National, can you give us a quick background, maybe a, you know, a history of how the National began and you know, and go into that?
Yeah, it's all right there in front of me because it seems like yesterday, but it was 34 years ago that two of my partners, Gavin Riley and Steve Bruner, and I sat down and planned the first National in Los Angeles. And we were not really looking for financial gain, nor were we looking for any kind of recognition in that respect. As a matter of fact, we set the charter so that it would move every year and different promoters at that time, because there was a circuit of promoters, Bob Schmier and Ted Taylor in Philadelphia, and just a number of known promoters in 1980 that had run successful shows for years. And we wanted each one of them to get a shot at bringing what we were going to call the National Sports Collectors Convention into their hometown, so that new people could see it, dealers could meet each other, customers could meet each other, collectors could meet each other. And it went. And then Lloyd and Carol Torpy, who have been long out of the hobby now, took the second one in Detroit the following year. And in 82, Bruce Painter in Chicago, who had run shows for years, ran the third one, and so on and so forth. And then a number of, in 1991, I established what was called the Corporate Pavilion, and we brought in all the manufacturers and all the distributors at that time that made products. So we opened the door from dealers and collectors in 91 after 11 years to all the corporate sponsors that we have now, and we blew through 105,000 people attending the show in Anaheim. We wound up getting closed by the fire department 76 times for too many people in the building. got $100,000 in fines, which I remember distinctly, and it was chaotic. But I think that the strongest thing is that when people come to the National for the first time, they walk in the door and they all have exactly the same comment. I can't believe this. How am I going to get around the show in 5 days? And that is the statement. It's 500,000 square feet. There's over 1,000 exhibit fronts between corporate sponsors and exhibitors, dealers, and such. Radio stations are set up, TV set up. The Cubs will be in the lobby in a kiosk. It is a circus of about 450,000 square feet, 500,000 square feet. It goes on from Wednesday, July 31st, to Sunday, August 4th, and it is true. You know, with 100 different autograph stars signing, it's just nonstop. It's just nonstop, and you know, I love watching people that come in for the first time. They might buy anything from, they might be really serious, wanting to get in and buy some vintage stuff or game use stuff and spend some serious money. Or they might be there with their children or their dad, and they trip across a program for $3 of the first game that their dad ever took them to. It's the same pleasure. It's not a matter of how much you got to spend or that, and it's a matter of everything's under this roof. Everybody who has anything brings it to this show, and millions and millions of dollars of items change hands. And I think the most amazing part of it is that it's very hard to walk around and not see people smiling. This is their heaven. This is what it's about. This is, you know, we were not meant to collect in the closet. We were not meant to be isolated when we want to collect or enjoy sports collecting in that. And this is when they all get together.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And I'm actually, me and Dan, it's going to be our first time. So you're going to, you know, I should almost film my reaction walking in, because it's going to be like, whoa. So, and you brought up a good point is, you know, I have several friends, I mean, that aren't collectors. I mean, it's connecting with collectors and being able to talk about your passion and what you do as a hobby. And the thousands and you know, the amount of people that are there, and it's just, yeah, it's like almost like a Disneyland for cards and memorabilia and autograph signers. I mean, it's just, and that's what I've heard as well, is that you just can't finish it all in the 5 days. You know, you have to make a plan and stuff like that. So a few other questions I wanted to ask you, Mike, is talk about some of the promos that you have, you know, with the other companies that are going on at this year's National.
Well, the VIP, well, every one of the corporate manufacturers from Topps, Upper Deck, Leaf, Panini, and In the Game, all these manufacturers hold spectacular giveaways and excitement in each one of their booths for everybody that attends. The lines go on forever of people waiting to do this and that. There's case breaking, there's pack breaking, there's pack wars. There's a lot of activity. that comes to this besides going over to a dealer's booth and you know, going through some 1952 Tops or 50, you know, or Leaf cards or whatever it might be. And we, though, have for the VIPs, each one of the manufacturers traditionally makes a set of cards that is unavailable anywhere else. It's only offered at the National. It's only to our VIP registrants that join the club. The difference is this: instead of paying $25 a day to get in, our VIP members choose to pay $129, and they get in for the entire week. They get in a half hour early. They have a VIP party before. They get 12 random autographed tickets from a select group of VIP signers that we bring in, and then they get all these promos and such. It's been a very popular program. I think we launched it for the first time in 1997 in Cleveland. It makes sense. If you're going there for more than a couple of days, then this sort of pays for itself. Plus, the people want the promos, and they want that. Now, we're just starting the list on our website, which is nsccshow.com, standing for the National Sports Collectors Convention Show.com. We're starting to show images now of some of the cards and some of the promos that are being made as we get them from the manufacturers. And we're also starting to announce the different promotions at the different booths as we find out what they're doing and such. A lot of manufacturers keep it pretty close to the vest until we get a couple weeks out. They want their day in court. We send out an e-blast for anybody that's registered with us, and they get all this information as well. But it's on our website, and pretty much covers it. But some of the cards are just amazing. They're remarkable. It's phenomenal how interesting and creative the manufacturers can get on that. And, of course, that's a new card market, if that's what you're looking for.
Definitely. Now, Ryan, you've been to the National, and what kind of questions do you have for Mike?
You know, Mike, one thing I was wondering is I think it's a unique thing to Chicago is there's going to be an Olympic Pavilion, and if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be like 20,000 square feet. Do you know anything about that, and what's that going to be like?
Yeah, we pulled in the Olympic Committee contacted us 2 years ago in Chicago, and we did the pavilion for the first time at that point. And it was very successful. It brought in a lot of collectors because it is the sports part of the Olympics, obviously. And these people have their own unique items for sale. And we have found that if you try to predict what somebody's looking for that walks into our show, you're going to guess wrong. The chances you're going to guess wrong. Not, you know, one size does not fit all. Everybody has their own little list of things that really they get excited about and are really there to find. So we've accommodated a 25,000 square foot pavilion for Olympic dealers who travel all over the world picking up and buying and selling Olympic items, exclusively Olympic items. And that pavilion connects to the main. It's all part of it's all under the one roof. You don't have to pay a separate admission or anything like that. As you come in and you turn to the right, first of all, you got the entire show layout in front of you. Then on the right is the Olympic Pavilion. Further down is the Autograph Pavilion, and that's 40,000 square feet. So you have these, and then you have the Corporate Pavilion, which is another 50,000 square feet. And they're all under the roof, though. I mean, you're not going into separate buildings or different floors or anything like that. So it's all there. And, of course, that's what adds to the confusion is that you walk in the door, you didn't know this stuff was there maybe. And now your game plan, as you were talking about, where you got to stick to it, is out the window because you're running from one side to the other. We figured once that if a person came for the first time and wanted to spend 10 minutes in front of every exhibitor and such, didn't care about any autographs, didn't eat, and didn't go to the bathroom, they'd need two more days.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm just blown away by all the autograph desks. I mean, I've been to a few TriStar shows here in the Bay Area, which is, you know, maybe a 20th of the amount of autograph guests that you're going to have. Tell us about highlight some of the autograph. I know there's a ton, and it'll take forever to go through all of them, but highlight some of the autograph guests that are going to be at the National.
Well, Cal Ripken's been with us, and Joe Montana's been with us before, but Sugar Ray Leonard's in there for the first time. We got a couple of jockeys coming in for the first time. We're trying to arrange some of the Blackhawks maybe to come over. But the list of who's who, which is listed on our website, and, of course, you probably have a list, too. You probably looked at it and that. It is, you know, it's basically an all-star team in every sport. And you just can't get all this under one roof, even if you didn't want autographs. If you just wanted to see these guys live, that's kind of neat, too. Because we get a lot of people come in and say, well, you know, I'm not really an autograph collector, but, you know, I haven't seen a Cal Ripken Jr. in person before. And they just kind of stand around and watch him sign and that. And I think that's just as much of the pleasure as usual. You know, Reggie Jackson's usually there. We have a group that we start signing about March and such. Got to be a little careful. Some people aren't available, and they don't know their schedules. For instance, we wound up with Mariano Rivera last year in Baltimore because he got hurt. He got hurt about a week before the show. Brought him in. So there's always some surprises, too, as far as that goes. But, you know, one of the hardest problems, one of the hardest decisions a lot of people have is sometimes the guests are appearing at the same time. And some of the guests, many of the guests are sold out. So you have to go on the website, click on the Autograph Pavilion, which is run by TriStar, a good friend of mine, Jeff Rosenberg, and his partner, Bobby Mintz, and Mandy First, which is wonderful. I mean, they're just wonderful people, and they just do a big job, very professional in that. You can buy memorabilia to have signed. You can buy stuff that was signed by other people and are still there in the Autograph Pavilion. It just goes on nonstop. So it's a lot of fun. The VIP party, yeah, I don't have the list in front of me, but we have four guests that sign on the VIP party for free, which is Wednesday from 2:30 to 4 before the show opens on a banquet. And then we have a couple of free signers that night, too. Wish I had the information in front of me. I can't keep track of this anymore. I'm too far gone. 34 years of doing this, I get the players mixed up from different years, and I had one thrill, I have to say, above and beyond anything, and that was in 1953, a ball player got hit in the head in a minor league game that was in the American Association by my team. I was 8 years old, and we've never had him at the show. We had him there last year for the first time. He'd been in baseball this time, and he was never available during the summer. And I always wanted him there because I have pictures of him on the St. Paul Saints team uniform, the programs, and that. And he was having the finest year of his entire career, and he was about to be called up by the Dodgers. They were the AAA Association minor league team, St. Paul. And he got beaned, and he went out for the season, almost died. They put a plate in his head. He was in a coma for I think a month, and
wow.
He showed up last year. We brought him in, and I was the first person in line, the first person I've asked for an autograph, and I gave him a picture of himself with a team picture with his teammates, if he remembered him, and we wound up talking an hour afterwards. His name is Don Zimmer.
Nice.
And, you know,
wow.
he had been in baseball for so many years, and, you know, I said, I hope I don't spark a bad memory, but here's your 53 program that you were in when you got hit. You were batting 319. And he said to me, I remember dropping to the ground, and our manager, Max Macon, ran over. And he said to me, Don, are you okay? And I said, yes, and went into a coma for a month.
Oh, wow.
And he came back, and he said to me, when he came back the next year, before I got called up to the Dodgers in 55, when he came back, everybody threw at him. They said, you got going, let's see if you hear footsteps here, if you see shadows. And he said every pitcher on every team threw at him.
Wow.
It was baseball. Tougher brand of baseball, maybe, in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah, with no social media back then or no coverage on stuff like that, you know, it's a totally different sport. And correct me if I'm wrong, he was a former manager for the Red Sox, correct?
Yeah, well, no, he was actually, I don't think he managed the Red Sox. I know he was. Cubs, but then he went to the Yankees. He was a coach, long-time coach, then went to Florida and then retired. But he was with the Dodger organization for years, too. And he was a spunky player. I think in 47 he was something like the high school player of the year in America, like a super award. And it just happened to be my home team. And I think that's what we're really dealing with here is your own personal memories. They're under this roof at the National. I have found full team uniforms from the – I mean, my own personal passion. I found everything I've ever looked for. I've got autographed baseballs from different years in the 50s, from team autographs. I mean, it's unheard of stuff, and it's all been at the National. And a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, I was walking by Heritage Auctions booth and visiting with Chris Ivey, the president. And I look up, and there's Willie Mays' Minneapolis Millers road jersey.
And wow.
He played for the Millers for about an hour and a half. I didn't even know he got a jersey. so this is the amazing part. I don't know of anybody that walked around the show, and believe me, I get my share of people that complain about something or this or that or whatever, or they might have bought something and they don't think it's real, and we interact on that. But I don't think I've ever met anybody that said, well, I didn't get my money's worth. You know, it's kind of funky. it's just too much space. I mean, I did have one person, though. Well, I'm sorry, I got to contradict myself. I had a person who came into the show at 9:45, waited in line. We saw his ticket stamp. And came up to me at 4:30 in the afternoon and said he wanted his money back. He said he didn't.
Wow.
He said he didn't. It wasn't what he expected. I said it took you 7 hours to find that out.
he probably spent all of his money on wax and he needed that $20 back.
Well, we gave him his money back. So it's very rare that anybody has a problem, but. When we were first starting and kids didn't get in free, they do now, 12 and under free all week, but when kids didn't get in free, we would have the same argument at the admission booth from so many people, like, do I have to pay for my 12-year-old, my 10-year-old? I said, well, you know, if we were going to let anybody in, it would be you, the 12-year-old, we got to charge because they're the ones that care. We don't care about the parents for. You're just the ride. You know, and... So I don't know. It's been 34 wonderful years, and I'm hopefully going to be running the show at least till 2020, where my contract that I've agreed to work with John Brogy, my business partner on this. And I'll tell you, I have an amazing time. I don't think anybody has more fun than me.
Well, let me ask you this: there's a lot of undertaking and planning involved. Do you take like a month vacation after, or?
Four months off before I start renewing any kind of space. Of course, the dealers go to a dealer lottery before they leave the show, and it's probably one of the biggest reasons that we were able to survive during some of the downtimes, you know, of the hobby, and that is that we've never had to really hustle table sales, exhibit booth sales, because the dealers sign up by priority and pick their locations out the year before. Next year, and as a result of that, just a fluke that we put into play in 1980, we're unlike any other show where their space is guaranteed, their choice is guaranteed by how many years they've been there. So it's kind of like season tickets. You know, if you're in the first row of the Giants behind the dugout, and you don't feel like going to the games next year, you're going to give them up?
Nope,
you're not giving them up. So that's the thought process we had, and it's worked for us in that respect. But it's because everybody that comes to the show, their expectations are met. And that's our key role in promoting the show, John and I, and that is in the board of directors, is that regardless of whether you're an attendee or you hold the table or you're the biggest sponsor in the room, we want to exceed your expectations of what you thought you were paying for. And we were able to do it because of the content of the show itself.
Definitely. And I wanted to mention, I know you mentioned TriStar earlier. Now, I noticed if somebody goes down there and they strictly want to try to get all the autographs, is the TriStar package still available, or did they sell that out? Now, for your listeners out there, the TriStar package gets you first-in-line privileges. And, you know, you could basically avoid – so you probably could get more autographs that way if you're willing to do the TriStar package. I know there was limited quantity on that. Is that still available through TriStar site?
I think they cap at 200, and I think we're at 179 on that package.
Wow.
Jeff handles it, and my partner John handles it. We kind of split the roles. I handle the marketing, the advertising, the promotion, the corporate sponsorships, and all the corporate booths, and that type of stuff. And then John handles the dealers and the logistics of the show, working with the decorator and the ticket sales online and as such. And he does a remarkable job with that. But we don't cross over too much because I don't really know what he's doing. You know, we're both swamped. We just don't have time to two people try to do the same job. So we've got a good partnership and have had for many, many years.
Well, that's good. That's great to hear. Now, we wanted to give a giveaway to some of our listeners. Now, what we want you guys to do, tell us, so we're going to be giving away a VIP package that you give out. Explain the VIP package. It has the special cards that are given away at the front, correct?
Yes. We can't give any autograph tickets with this because those are controlled by TriStar. And just as you mentioned, if somebody was going to buy one of these special packages, that we have to. There's only so many autograph moments that you can have, you know, with the different players. They're scheduled at specific times. They're all in print, and they don't have extended hours. So nor do we. But what we're willing to do is we're willing to give two bags of all the promos. Entrance to the party, let you in early, give you a VIP badge, which will put you in for the entire week early, half hour early, your own private entrance. And as I said, the VIP party is on Wednesday from 2:30 to 4. If you win this and you don't go, you don't go for the whole week, doesn't matter. You're still going to enjoy the day or two that you do go because you're going to go in first class. And that's a big difference. So you get in at 9:30, the show opens at 10. And as I said, we let you in right from the party, so you're the first people on the floor, period, of the National Sports Collectors Convention. And the promos you get, once again, are the only place that you can get them, and the only way you can get them is by buying this package, but you'll get them free on this show if they pull your name.
Well, what we'll do is since you're doing two, is to maximize this, we'll go ahead and give one away for a caller, and then we'll also run a contest on Twitter and Facebook to win the next one. So so that way we can get everybody going to the site. So we're going to clear the phone lines, and we want people to call in. I want you to go on to the nsccshow.com, and on the front page, I want you to name the three autographs that are going to be given away by Upper Deck. Well, not given away, but you got to buy certain packs to get them. But I just want to know you know, what big names are on that list. So the first person to call in, and the number is 347-855-8815. We'll go ahead and get this national package, courtesy of Mike here, which we really appreciate. I mean, that's an awesome gift. So looks like we got 608 on the line here. First caller, fastest fingers here. So let's go ahead and bring on 608. 608, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So we're looking for the three cards that are on the nsccshow.com on the front page.
All right. Let my iPhone load here. And could have swore it was Michael Jordan and Gretzky, something like that. Give me a second here. Phone's loading.
That's two out of the three.
I'm waiting for my phone to load so I can figure out the third one here. I should not vote it.
He's a local.
He's local in the area there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from the Madison area. I'll be at the convention, actually. I'm really looking forward to it. And I should be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I can't make it for the Wednesday. But,
Well, we'll get the names from you, and we'll put the tickets and the redemption bag in will call in the lobby. So it doesn't matter when your winners come in. It'll be under their name in the lobby. They'll just show an ID, and they'll pick it up.
Awesome. And then the third guy you're looking for there, have you pulled it up?
I don't know why my phone's not loading it. It's like right here in front of me, and it won't load the pictures.
Well, two out of three.
Oh, it looks like, it's a hockey player. We got Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan. It's almost there. I got the 2G connection. I need to update the 4G.
His last name is Kane.
Yeah, it's another hockey player.
Hockey's pretty strong in Chicago right now.
It is. Good time of year for hockey in Chicago.
Yeah, it is. You know,
Patrick Kane.
Nice, you got it.
Sorry, guys. Sorry about the delay there.
No problem. And let's go ahead and get your name so we can go ahead and put it on that ticket.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to run.
Okay.
Okay.
This is
well, we appreciate your time, Mike, and thanks for the giveaway. And we'll be giving away another giveaway here for another VIP package, and we'll let everybody know. Follow us on Twitter, at SportsCardLive, and if you could also follow, we'll tweet out Mike's Twitter handle so that you follow them. So it's going to be a contest that requires you to follow both of us, and look for that.
Okay, and if you gentlemen want to email me again, I don't know if you have your media credentials yet, I'll get you set up with Ray Schulte, our PR director, and then I'll put you in the show for the week and whatever you need there, and he'll work with you.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time, Mike, and we look forward to meeting you in Chicago, and we're looking forward to a blast of an national this year.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, you got it. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'll look forward to seeing everybody and talking to everybody in person.
Okay, definitely. Mike, take care.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, sweet. Well, that was Mike Berkus from the National Sports Card Collectors Convention, and it's going to be a blast this year. And we're talking with Matt, right?
Yeah, that just that made my week or even my month. I've been really looking forward to this convention. I've been to Chicago multiple times for their mainly for the Sun-Times Convention. It was a blast, and I know quite a few of the dealers there, and I mean, it's just a blast. I mean, if you collect anything, I mean, you can find it there. And, I mean, anything you want to do, I mean, and find it's there, like you guys said. And, like, for example, last year I went there. I just bought one pack of cards off of from a random dealer just walking around. I got a good deal on it. I pulled a Robert Griffin autograph. I mean, it was just a hectic. I mean, it was unbelievable. The guy, And ever since then, I've been going to the shows. I love it. I mean, if you want to buy wax boxes there, you can find a good deal on it. I mean, if you're looking for single cards, supplies, whatever you need, it's there. And like you said, even if you, you're not getting autographs, I mean, you can see some of these sports players. I mean, it's like 1 year Shaquille O'Neal was there. I mean, he's tall. You can see him over the crowd. So,
Well, this year I'm looking forward.
I'm going to try to meet a few of the boxers this year. I want to go, like you said, Sugar Ray is going to be there, and Roy Jones Jr. I'm looking forward to meeting some of these boxers. It should be a pretty good event. And now I got a VIP pass. It's even nicer. So,
awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll have to meet up there too as well. So that we'll have to meet up with you. And yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you calling in, and congrats on the win there. And you know, we'll be seeing you and contacting you on how to get that VIP package.
Yeah, definitely, man. Do you guys need my name, or what kind of information do you guys need from me right now?
Yeah, if you could just message mojobreak@gmail.com and just give us your name and phone number, and I don't know if we'll need your address, but if you could just leave us all that, we'll go make sure we put the ticket under your name.
All right, not a problem at all. Well, you guys have a good one. You guys always have a great show going on, and you guys are definitely knowledgeable of what you guys are talking about, so I appreciate you guys.
Awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in and listening.
Definitely.
Thanks, man. Well, take care and have a good rest of the
day. You guys have a good 4th of July.
Yeah, you too, man.
Yep.
All right. Bye. Sweet. Well, that was an informative little session, and I'm totally excited for the National. I mean, it's countdown begins. It's less than 30 days now, so I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on it myself.
And we're
what
actually
hotel holding up.
What's that?
What hotel do you guys stay in? I got a room at the Intercontinental, I think.
We're at the A-Loft, I guess.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I think I'm right across the street from you. Yeah.
Nice. I booked two rooms, and the guy called me and asked me, did I do it by mistake, because I guess they sold out. So he's like, I just want to make sure that you wanted two rooms because we're completely sold out. So,
yeah.
You know, listeners out there, if you guys plan on staying somewhere and you haven't booked your room, I mean, these places are all starting to book up, and
you know, I'm not totally familiar with the Chicago area. I know there's three or four hotels that are pretty close that are within walking distance, but if those fill up, I wouldn't be able to tell you where else you would.
There's quite a few, Amy. I just booked all my hotels last night. It just depends what you're going to be in at about 100, a minimum 120 a night, no matter where you stay. There's at least five or six hotels that are literally within walking distance, and then probably another five that are probably within walking distance if you don't mind over a mile. You know, a mile, that's nothing to me, but, you know, some people don't like walking. So parking's really expensive at the hotels, at pretty much every hotel there. So if you could get there on public transportation or however way, that's going to be cheaper. So,
yeah, definitely cabinets. And, you know, we may be renting a car, I'm not sure. But we are going to be having so for some of your listeners out there that are planning on going to the National, us and Leighton Mojo Break and Leighton Sports Cards will be throwing a private party at the casino. So, you know, contact us if you're going to be in the area and you'd like to come. We're going to be having a lot of giveaways. Panini's going to be there. So it should be a really fun time there with drinks and food. And, you know, you got the casino too. So that should be enough to entice you to come down and, you know, meet with other collectors, and we're going to have people that, you know, participate in our breaks, and Leighton will have people that participate in his breaks, which a lot of the people are the same that bar into both of our breaks. So should be a good time. We just kind of wanted some face time with people that have been customers of ours that, you know, we only see in the chat. We only see them texting, you know. We don't get to actually place a face with the email or the chat name. So looking forward to that, and since it's our first time, we definitely wanted to meet everybody because it's not very often that you get all these collectors under one roof.
Yeah.
It's a big party. Like I said, it's happy time. It's just everybody's happy. It's 500,000 square feet. I mean, everything he said about it, how you could spend 10 minutes in front of a booth and you still have the time left or whatever you want to find there. There's so many, like, good stories there, good things that happen there. It's just absolutely amazing. 500,000 square feet of just dealer tables. It is absolutely incredible. I mean, it makes the little TriStar San Francisco show look like, you know, I'm selling a lemonade stand on the corner of my street over here. I mean, it blows everything away. And there's so many good people there that you talk to and that you meet. And it's just an incredible experience. You can find anything, any budget. You can get a good – like, we're West Coast guys. I mean, people don't have the same reverence for Joe Montana there and obviously Barry Bonds. So, I mean, I was picking up some cheap, like, dirt cheap West Coast guys in Baltimore last year just because they don't have the same – you know, it's not West Coast. They don't look at Joe Montana the same way we look at Joe Montana. So anything
right.
you want – just be ready for it. Try to bring as much money as you can. And boxes, oh, my God, boxes all day long. Anything you want, and it's cheap, too. Not inflated prices, probably below eBay, probably damn near below wholesale on some of this stuff. So it's like anything you want. It's a candy store, and it's 500,000 square feet. I mean, that is huge. So it is the real deal.
And I've heard blowout. I heard blowout. Blowout, not to plug Blowout, but I mean, I go on their forums and stuff, but I've heard that Blowout really lives up to their name. I mean, they'll bring some old wax that, you know, they've had sitting that still is good stuff, and they'll just, I mean, they'll lose money. I mean, they'll just, boom, just get rid of it. $20.
Yeah.
I've heard that they've just sold, they sell stuff just crazy there, so.
And
you
contest.
Know.
He gives you little tickets. He gives you little tickets, collect all those, come back, and they give away, like, cases and boxes and autographs and gift certificates. And, like, your odds of winning are actually pretty good because there's only about 150 people standing around the table when he's doing the giveaways. So take advantage of that. And it's crazy. It's really good deals there on some stuff.
And correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody's been to, like, shows before where BGS has been there, so if you're thinking about grading cards, I know they give the raw reviews in other places, but I've actually heard that they're actually going to encapsulate and give you the final card there.
Yes.
They did that last year. If you go, I think you got to go like maybe Wednesday or Thursday, maybe Friday, and you can come back Sunday. But they do have that. I saw guys, they would take the, they get their package from Beckett, turn around, the Leaf booth is right there, and open it up and see if Brian Gray wanted to buy any of their cards they just got graded. But just freshly boom in the BGS. I mean, it's crazy. So, well, yeah, BGS, PSA, you know, autograph. I authenticated an autograph I bought there from JSA. It was only like $20. I bought a Ernie Els. He's a golfer for my mom, actually. I bought an autograph 8x10, took it over to JSA. They authenticated it for $20. Boom, out the door in like 3 or 4 hours they had it authenticated. So
wow.
Anything you want there that, in terms of authentication, grading cards, boom, you can have it done right there, then and there. If you buy something and you're like, you're questionable about it, or take it over to PSA DNA, take it over to JSA, one of the dealers, and boom, they can authenticate it right there for you.
Well, I've even heard stories of guys like last year, Harper, you know, obviously Harper's still big this year, but, you know, buying a box of Bowman Chrome there and getting a Harper, turn around, getting it graded, and then selling it there for, you know, $67 more than you would get if it's ungraded. So you could basically, like, or you could even probably find cards that are ungraded that look like, you know, you might be able to get a 9.5 or a 10, buy it from somebody's booth, turn around, get it graded, and make $40-$50. So there's an opportunity to, like, kind of flip there. If you were looking to make some money, you could probably strategize, buy things at the right deal, and then turn around and sell them to other people. So, I mean, you could if you planned it out right, you could basically pay for your whole national trip and then some and make some money.
Absolutely, you could. You definitely could. If you didn't, like, have a like if you weren't, like, a wild gambler and you had, like, a leak, you know, you went to the pits and you sprayed off money. If you went there and you were like, I'm going to, every dime I spend, I'm going to try to turn this around and make money. I'm going to flip this card. I'm going to grade this card. I'm going to do whatever. You could recoup a lot of your cost. And then, of course, everything in the VIP package you could sell, technically, if you wanted to. I mean, any budget, it's worth it. Like, I mean, it's great. Like, it's 500,000 square feet. I mean, most people live in, like, 1,000 square feet or, like, 1,500 square feet. So this is 500,000 square feet of just cards and memorabilia and sports stuff. I mean, there's no, like, a big old aisle of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! It's all sports stuff. So that's the one thing that I really like about it, is that it is all sports. And, you know, any budget, you're going to be good to go with that thing.
Yeah, and I know people in the chat had some questions for Mike, and Mike had short on time, but I also wanted to ask him what the since he'd been doing it for so long, obviously, what the, you know, he mentioned he was into the 80s, and then when the kind of card industry died, I kind of wanted to talk to him about how the boom in, you know, autographs and serial numbered cards came out and how that changed the national. That would have been an interesting story. Hopefully, maybe we can get him back on and talk about, you know, the progression of the industry, because if anybody knows the progression of collectors, it would be him. So that'll be a story for another day. Hopefully we can get him on. Maybe we can get him on after the national just to kind of overview the show and talk some, you know, maybe preview into the 2014. But I wanted to talk about some products that are coming out this week. Exquisite Football is coming out, and, you know, Upper Deck's getting some flack because they're putting out a 2012 product. I mean, we're in July 2013, so they're putting out this week, actually I think it came out today, 2012 Exquisite Football, which is their creme de la creme, or whatever you want to call it. The big no-no this year is that they didn't get Andrew Luck in there. So people are a little bit disappointed, but obviously you got the RG3, you got Russell Wilson, you got everybody else but Luck, but I think some people are a little disappointed because they believe Andrew Luck had a non-licensed deal with Press Pass that didn't end in time, and they, for whatever reason, they could not put him in this year's Exquisite. But there is these weird redemptions that are flying around that say you are due a first-rounder quarterback RPA. And I think it lasts until 2014 or something. So people are speculating that if they do get in a deal in place with Andrew Luck, that this card could be, in fact, Andrew Luck. But they left it wide open
that they could be anybody. I mean, any first round QB. I mean, it could be EJ Manuel. It could be Ryan Tannehill. It could be RG3. So, but people are selling those redemptions at $500-$600 because it's an RPA for a first round quarterback. So, a little bit of a bummer that he's not in there, but I mean, I think Exquisite does a good job with, you know, Jerry Rice, all these veterans, Dan Marino, John Elway. These guys are all going to be in there in their college unis and nice patches, nice thick on-card autos, big expensive set. So I think it'll still do well. I mean, what's your take? What do you think? Without Andrew Luck, what do you think of Exquisite this year? Anybody can pick one.
You know what they've been on those Andrew Luck cards, they've been putting those in sets for a while. I mean, even last year's base upper deck had those. And, you know, who knows what's going to – and I think even a few other products, you know, just the mystery, oh, you're going to get – basically you're going to get an Andrew Luck card. But as we've seen with even more reputable supposedly card companies, what they say you're going to get is not always the case. So I'd be very careful with those. Exquisite, I don't – it's just – when I started getting into the web – for sports cards, Exquisite was the best football product because that's when Upper Deck had their NFL license. And it's just amazing how much has changed with the Exquisite. It was the dopest product back in 2009, and you know now the company. I mean, it's not even a top-tier card company anymore. They're on the same level as Leaf, essentially. The NCAA stuff is just such a niche audience that will be willing to buy NCAA-licensed cards. Cards look nice, but it's really expensive. I mean, you get 5 autographs, I think, per box, I think 6 cards. So you get one of the base cards, I think that's numbered to 85, and then you get 5 other on-card autographs. Cards are going to look amazing. Last year's draft class was amazing. They have live cards for the 2013 rookies, just not autographs, but they have live cards. I think they're numbered to 175 and then parallels on down, I believe, with those. Veteran players, Bart Starr, Barry Sanders, those type of players. Yeah. So, break for you guys. I don't know what the status is with Upper Deck. And if even you're allowed even
I think,
break that kind of stuff.
I think we are going to do a case of it. The crazy thing is that every year it's not a licensed product and it's guys in their college uniforms and it's super late in the year and it's literally the last product. But the secondary market, people just eat these cards up. You look at the secondary market on a lot of these cards and like, man, there's like RPAs going for like $400, $500, $600, $700 like all day. It's insane because it's not licensed. So the secondary market does really well with this set, like every year.
Well, from what I've heard from people that you know bust and rip and flip this stuff is that you kind of basically rip it and sell it within the first couple weeks because then you're going to get the most out of it because it gets forgotten real quick. But there are, I mean, it does have you know RG3 and a Baylor, so there is some of those. There is some fans of the college. So they, you know, they collect those guys, you know, Doug Martin, you know, Boise guys. This is going to be literally the nicest card of them in their college uniform. So, I mean, there is cult collectors with that. You know, it's an interesting set. And, yeah, we can't literally buy it from a distributor. We can't buy it from Upper Deck. But, you know, we basically have to buy it from a card shop that sells Upper Deck. So, I mean, I don't know if that'll ever change. They're pushing us to get a card shop in order to sell the stuff. You know, I'm obviously not going to be able to, I mean, if we can't do Upper Deck products, that's no big deal. You know, I mean, we're not going to, now if Topps or Panini did that, then you know, might force us into getting a card shop. But, you know, rent here in San Jose is too high to justify owning a card shop and doing breaks. So that's kind of where we stand. And my distributors had several talks with me about, own a card shop, open a card shop. And, you know, card shops are great and all, and I understand there's
sell
still a market for that. But that, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sell them to pay your rent. Yeah, open a card shop. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So,
I mean, and then we're not even looking to sell the boxes online. I know that's why they're protecting these guys, is because they want to. They don't want somebody. Upper Deck has done a really great job of keeping their margins, and the reason why is because they only sell to card shops, diamond dealers, and such. So there's a really high profit margin on that product as opposed to a Topps product that doesn't do well. A Topps product that doesn't do well will be sold under cost on eBay. So now people go into a card shop and they don't want to pay $30, $40 for a Bowman Platinum box, $30, $40 more. They might want to pay $10, $20 more. But if it's $30 or $40 more, they'll just sit there and wait for 3 days to get it from Blowout or DA. So Upper Deck has done a good job of protecting their margins, and that's one of the reasons why I don't think they've let breakers in. But, I mean, I take the standpoint of the only thing that we can do is give them press, put their stuff on video. I mean, it's the person that has a local card store next to them is going to still go in and buy Upper Deck products because they've seen, but this might actually help them sell more. So that's my standpoint, that they don't see it the same way. And, you know, we battled with them, but I haven't battled very hard because it's not a brand that we just absolutely can't live without. So they make good products, but there's the other big two and Leaf make enough that, you know, breakers can do stuff without doing Upper Deck.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we will be doing some exquisite. We have some on the site. I think we have two cases coming of exquisite football. So we'll probably do one random and one team style. And there's some good teams left. If you're into exquisite, BonMojoBreak.com and get into that. So that should be pretty fun. And then to end off the show, I want to talk a little gold standard basketball coming out tomorrow. And I think it's going to go. I think the prices on these boxes are going to rise. They have the metal cards that were redemptions last year for the rookies. It's a full on thick metal card. It's not autographed or anything, but it's a sharp looking card. Five hits a box, and it wasn't around. I shouldn't say last year. It wasn't around last year because they didn't have the rookies, so they basically scrapped it. It was last year. It was 11-12, but they didn't have any rookies. They were all redemptions. So, and it did well enough without the rookies that this year, I think with the double rookie class, it's going to do even better. And you got all the big names, Kobe, you know, Durant, all their exclusives.
Yeah, it's going to be a solid
bench,
right?
Metal card. I think it's just a metal card, right? Because I think I even saw one. They had one on display at the GTS little shindig a month ago or whenever that was. They're actually kind of – there could be some value in there from those. They almost look like a printing plate, but just a little nicer, just like better quality, you know, like you can actually see what's written on it. Those might be interesting. I think basketball collectors, maybe they're waiting for National Treasures. You guys will know when that comes out better than I will, but maybe hardcore fans might be waiting for National Treasures, but – this could be a good. It was a good set a few years ago. If they keep the price at the right price, I mean, it could be a good set.
Well, you're looking at about 180 to 190 on the low end, probably from Blowout. You're probably, if you go into a card store, you're looking at maybe 2 to 220. But you're looking at, yeah, I mean, you get five hits. I mean, you get low numbered. I think everything's under 99. And so, and then, you know, if you pull a Kyrie, you're probably looking at least a $500 to $1,000 card, if not more. So, and obviously you got Kobe and Kevin Durant. If you pull any of those are going to get you good return on your investment. So, and they got the legends. They got Larry Bird. You know, there's a lot of possibilities of hits in there. And so I think it'll tide people over to National Treasures. But the thing with National Treasures, when it comes out, it's going to probably go up above $600 a box. So you could literally get three gold standard boxes probably for the price of one NT box. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, what do you want to do? You want to gamble big on the NT, or do you want to get more bang for your buck with like three boxes of gold standard or four boxes of select or, you know. So it'll be interesting to see the market. Because NT was absolutely gone last year. There was no NT last year. So the year before that, I think they had the Blake Griffin, you know, the big Blake Griffin and the Jeremy Lin phenomenon that drove those boxes up to like $900 a box. So this year with Kyrie and the double rookie class, I think those boxes are going to – they may not get as high as the 10-11 stuff, but I think it's going to go pretty high.
Yeah, the price on those Jeremy Lin cards have probably come back down to earth, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
they're
think
not bad,
yeah,
though.
I hope
it's not
bad.
Like his autograph's $5. I mean, it's probably
no,
still 50,
well, it,
50 to 80 for an autograph.
When that
yeah.
when that product first came out, you can probably get it for $10-$15, like an RPA. He had no collectability, and then he just blew up. And I mean, there's some people who probably spent a couple $1,000s on a Jeremy Lin RPA that's probably worth maybe I don't know, maybe a couple $100, maybe $500 at most.
Probably something
yep.
in there.
But yeah, I mean, I remember. He didn't even make the Warriors team, didn't he? He was like a D-leaguer, wasn't he? And then he came up for a little while in the Warriors.
Right.
And
yeah,
and
he went
played
to the
a
Knicks
couple games, but he went to the Knicks and he just like, I mean, it was like 3 weeks and he was like the hottest basketball player ever. And it was insane.
And
I mean,
back
crazy.
Again,
I talk to Doug about this all the time. Like, dude, the card like values, like, I mean, it's like the stock market, man. I mean, it fluctuates on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's one
it's,
one
it's
good
crazy.
Game. I mean, one big game, one like baseball, one game with a grand slam. I mean, it's like Will Myers, he just jumped. I mean, he hits a grand slam in one of his first games. I mean, look what Puig's doing. It's just, you know, but Puig, what if Puig gets hurt? So now those $1,000 cards are down to $300 within a day. And if you missed it, you're, you know, $700. So.
Well, I remember a couple years ago, Brandon Crawford came up for the Giants, and he in his first game, he had a grand slam. I had picked up his Bowman autograph base auto for like $3. And the next day it was selling for like $50.
Wow.
Just the first career game, grand slam, just goes up like 1,000%. It's insane.
Yeah. It's insane. It's just a crazy industry on how everything works with how things rise and fall, and it's catching it at the right time. I'm actually going to I'm doing something that I'm going to document the whole way. It may take me a little while, but I want to do something with Rookie Retro. Basically, what I'm going to do is I am going to sell $1,200 or $1,300 worth of my own cards. And then I'm going to take that $1,200 or $1,300 and I'm going to open a box of Rookie Retro or a case for myself. And I just want to compare, like, would you rather have the 40 cards that I sold to get to the $1,200 or would you rather have the 5 hits that I got out of the Rookie Retro? So I kind of want to document it because, I mean, a lot of people do that. A lot of people trade and sell just to be able to open some of these higher-end boxes with the, you know, the thought of getting the big Chase card in the set. So
the thing is about Rookie Retro though, it's hand packed stuff. So you know, in a case, you're gonna get at least one card that's gonna be of significant value, at least
right.
a $200 to $300 card.
Yeah, I've watched a few breaks on. There's a lot of cards in this. I mean, it's a fun set. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge buyback guy, but when I do buybacks, I stick with Leaf. But there's a it's kind of like the Dos Equis.
It's kind of like
commercial.
A Dos Equis commercial. I don't usually do buybacks, but when I do, I prefer Leaf.
So there's a Colin Kaepernick Super Fractor Auto in there. That's one of the chases. There's several like red Harpers. There's a RG3 Super Fractor Auto in there. There's lots of old school rookies, you know. Mike Schmidt and Tony Gwynn stuff graded. So there's possibilities of getting like a $4,000 or $5,000 card in that set. So, you know, I seen a guy break a couple boxes and he got like a Trevor Bauer graded at 9.5. So that's, you know, that's kind of rough in a, you know, $200 box, get a $60 auto. So, I mean, it's like anything, it's a gamble.
What is it? Is it $200 for a box?
I think so. I think it's a little cheaper than their best of.
Well, you're probably looking, if it's a $200 box, I mean, you're probably looking at least 40 to 50% worst case scenario return on your investment. Which,
right.
And this hobby, I would take that any day of the week. That's
so basically I'm, and that's why I want to do this because I'm going to I'm going to sell a lot of 40, 20, 30, $40 cards. And I'm basically going to trade up to a $1,500, well, I think it's a $1,200 case, and I'm going to open the case and I'm going to get five premium cards. So it's like I may lose my value, but would I rather have like the Tom Brady rookie as opposed to the Tawan Walker rookie auto? You know, so I kind of want to compare. I want to do a blog article on it from step by step what I made on these cards and then what I got out of the Leaf Retro. Because I know a lot of people are doing that and they don't really document it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, but that pretty much sums it up. I mean, that was a good show, but other than the internet failure in the middle of the show where there was just crickets. But we figured it out, and I'm on the phone now, and we talked to Mike, and we gave away a VIP pack. So I think it was a good show, and stay tuned for follow us on Card Radio Live, and we'll let you know how you can win the other VIP package. So we're going to make some kind of retweet contest that gets you to pay attention to the National and go over to the National site and follow them. So look forward to that in the upcoming couple days here. If you check out, if you want to get into a break tomorrow, all of our Inception breaks sold out. But we do have Gold Standard case with teams available cheap. And we also have a random with four boxes of Gold Standard, two boxes of SP Authentic, and one box of Select. And it's priced $39 on sale right now, so it's a pretty good value. So be sure to check that out. And as always, check out sportscardradio.com for checklists and news. And follow Ryan on Twitter at sportscardnews. Always a good follow. And anything else you guys would like to say?
That's pretty much it. I think I'm going to head down to the sports book and see if I'm winning.
Somebody said take the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
What was that?
Take the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
The Saints?
Put money on the Saints. The Saints, yeah. Somebody said that in the chat earlier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna put all my money on the Rams. Is that not a good not a good bet?
Might as well burn your money. Oh, no, NFC South. Oh, bet on the NFC South to win the Super Bowl.
That's a, you know.
Do it. You get Trevor's vote of confidence here. Trevor's vote of confidence, NFC South.
That sounds like a good idea. I think I put some money on the Astros today. That was rough. That's what happened.
Well, the Giants are getting no hit right now through five. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I bet on the Giants. I'm a homer, so even though last time I was in Vegas, I bet against them, and I won.
Yeah, that's nice. Smart, actually. That's how to do it.
Yep,
they're going to get the Cardinals, and they were going to get Shelby Miller, and I'm like, dude, pretty sure the Giants are not going to win. They had, like, I think they had Zito going or something. I was like, there's no way they're going to win, and Shelby Miller beat them, like, 8-1, so...
I don't know how many, it's you know, it's hard to bet with your heart, and I think you lose when you bet with your heart, because I had so back when the Niners were bad, which was not too long ago, 2007, 2006 and on, back down to 2000, I would do a pool and I would bet on the Niners, even they're 2-14. I just couldn't pick against them because they're my team. I don't want them to lose. And I would literally lose the pool by like one game every week, and it was because I bet on the Niners. So it was just like, I got to stop betting on that, but I can't want them to lose. That's my team. I'm a diehard fan, so.
Dude, I'm the same way. You've been in how many years have we been in the same fantasy football league, and how many years have I drafted Steven Jackson?
Yeah, yep. That's why you don't win championships.
That could be it.
And I've never I don't draft any Niners. I never have a Niner on my team.
That's true.
Maybe this year I'll break it with Kaepernick.
No, you had Frank Gore at one point.
I think, because 4 or 5 years ago. But then I got him and he got hurt, remember? He was out.
Yeah.
So then that screwed. I think I still wound up winning that year, but it was, it's because it's Frank Gore. So, but, I think that pretty much does it for the show. And thank you guys for bearing with my internet problems today. Hopefully it's back to normal next week. But I think that's it. So make sure you check out mojobreak.com, sportscardradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Card Radio Live, and look for the contest on how to win the VIP National giveaway. So we'll go ahead and play the outro here, and thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys again next week.
All right, later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.